Hello, my name's Rob Seltzer, and welcome to Exiled Eagles podcast. Much like Christian Benteke's scoring form, we're back just in time for the end of the season. Joining me today is being very quiet is Dale Quarty. How are you, Dale?
I'm good. How's everyone?
Very okay. Good thing. Don't bang that too loud, Dale. Wake the baby up. Be careful.
Yeah.
Ned Rock down in Melbourne. How are you, Ned?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Bit chilly, but you know, all good.
Yeah, I'm in a hoodie today. And after his 13 rounds of Tyson, he claims he won, Marky Werner.
G'day, mate. How are you going? You all right?
Yeah. A lot better than you are by the looks of things
from the
bumps and scrapes that you've got on there.
Big day at the track on the weekend, mate. But I'm all good. Good to go. I'm in a tee. Unlike Ned, I'm up here in a t-shirt, loving life in beautiful sunny Queensland, and ready to go, mate, for the pod. Wow, I had to dust the laptop off and blow the cobwebs out the headphones for it. Should be tomorrow.
That's it. Well, look, mate. You know when you have a big day at the races, you're not supposed to run with the horses. You just bet on them, and that's why. Just don't be doing it. Don't be doing it.
Duly noted.
I feel like we should probably give the people listening some context on that, Rob, given that this is an audio medium.
Well, okay, Mark's currently got grazes all over himself, showed us the bruise that he's got on his side, and hand, face, arms. He's done it well.
Proper number.
It's an impressive effort. Right, so we haven't podded, guys, since 1932, I think. So there's a fair bit's happened since then. Probably most importantly was the national meetup. So first of all, I want to make a massive shout-out to the guys down in Tasmania. You put on a great spread for us. Lots of stuff to do. Cascade Brewery up Mount Wellington. Lots of beer drunk. And also special mention to our own Mark Werner for best on ground for really ripping in. I mean, that bloke pulled the trigger twice in 2 days. Falling asleep on the floor on Friday night, just like literally talking 1 minute, falling off the sofa and falling asleep as he hit the floor on the Friday. That was a very impressive effort. And then also wearing tracksuit bottoms out to, and not getting pubs, wearing tracksuit bottoms.
Thought we were going home to get changed.
Yeah, so wear tracky bottoms to pubs at midnight. But obviously the biggest shout out goes to... Yeah, they did. They did after much cajoling. But the biggest shout out obviously for the weekend goes to myself for actually turning up. So you're all very, very welcome. But it was a great weekend had by all. And I believe the chat is the next one. It's looking at South Australia around the Ashes time. So ladies, gentlemen, boys and girls, start planning that one. I think it is. Was I right there, fellas? Were we looking at?
Yeah, I think South that was Australian? Definitely yeah. Where we were thinking. Oh, it was definitely Adelaide, but it's time was unconfirmed. But the Ashes definitely got thrown up as a potential additional draw card, as well as obviously Carl Viet.
Obviously,
you know, obviously big draw card there.
A bit disappointed that the Central Coast didn't win out there, but hey ho! I thought I put up a mighty fine argument for it. There's no point talking about individual games because we've played basically four seasons since we've last podded. So how are we feeling? Two games to go. How are we feeling? Might as well talk about kind of the chunk between January and now. How do we feel it's gone? Like we're safe, fantastic. Kind of throw it over to Dale. Let's start with you, mate. How do you think it's been? How do you think the football's been and to where from the last, say, 3 or 4 months?
I'm going to say what everyone is thinking. We cannot grumble. 13th, I think, after the weekend and the last night's matches. Disclosure, we're recording this before we attempt to play Arsenal. We can't grumble at the fact that we are safe. We have been safe for a little while. The frustrations come in when we see what happened in the second half against Villa and we took the handbrake off and we saw what we can do. But all in all, we've got to be happy. People can have their frustrations about Roy and whatever else, but he's going. We may be fucked now, who knows? But let's just enjoy his last 2 games as best we can and yeah, it's been okay. It's not been great. It's not been bad.
We're not fucked. Don't worry. We're not fucked. That's a, you can take that from me. What about you? What about you, Tyson? How you think it's gone? How are you feeling about it all?
Yeah, look, I was just thinking the other day when we got mention of us possibly potting again, and I reflected on what some of our predictions were for the season, and trying to recall mine. I think we've dipped a little bit lower than that. I was fairly optimistic, and that's probably not selling it enough in where I thought we'd finish. But yeah, I have to reiterate a lot of what Dale said. Safety is paramount, obviously, and we've got that, and we've had mathematical safety. I think the Sheffield game brought us that. Looking at the table and the points tally in the form of the three at the bottom, I think we know we've been safe for a while, but it really hits home to me when the maths add up and we're rock solid. So signs, flashes of brilliance, you know, second half against Villa, and you know, a few swashbuckling results through the season was enough to sort of be drip fed through to keep an element of positivity there. And you know, talks of signings and now, you know, new management and the new academy and you know, those guys going well. So there's certainly way more things pointing up and in a positive note than things to moan about.
Yeah, that is a good thing. We'll come to the academy a little bit later. We've got to touch on that as well. Ned, what about you? I mean, obviously, last, say, 3 or 4 months, I think Dale and Mark probably hit the nail quite nicely on the head there with everything that's going on. But how's it been for you?
There's a bit too attacking against Villa for me. You know, I prefer those nil-nils. as you know, Rob, it's all about just making sure that, you know, the fans not being there, no one missed out, which I thought was very thoughtful of Roy to ensure that, you know, there was minimal entertainment, still get the results that we need, just so people didn't feel like they were missing out by being at the ground, and just sort of start to give them a rev up now while the fans are on their way back. So once again, managerial genius from Roy Hodgson, you know, just the latest in a long list. And yeah, I'm just going to let you tear me to shreds now as you go.
Just not doing it. I'm just going to let that one just straight through to the keeper on that one, fellas. Like, just let that one go from the off. I know where my off stump is. That's going straight through. All right, so that's pretty much covered that. But obviously the big news, the biggest news, and we'll come to the second biggest news about Eze in just a moment, because that broke about half an hour before we started. But the biggest news is the confirmation that Roy Hodgson will no longer be the manager of Crystal Palace Football Club after the next two games at the end of the season. Yes, I have said on many occasions that I don't want him to be the manager anymore. I stick by that. I'm very pleased. This is the way he's managed to go out, though, that we made it through to the season. I think it's the right thing to do. But what I will say is I think he's done a fantastic job in keeping us when he first came in. I just think he overstayed the welcome a little bit for me. But there's no denying the job that he has done for us. So, Ned, I'll come straight back to you and start with you, mate. I mean, you know, with obviously this, we can now speak of about Roy knowing he's going. One, do you think it's the right time? Would you have given him another year, for example? We'll come on to who might be replacing him or the names in there and who we want, who we don't want. But I mean, what's your overall feelings towards Roy?
I think anyone who has, you know, like, I mean, like you just said, I think there's, you know, there's people that have had their frustrations with him, but even those that have sort of, you know, been his most vocal critics have sort of come out in the last couple of days going, haven't enjoyed the football recently, but gee, you got to give credit where it's due for the job he's done, which I think is absolutely fair enough. In terms of your initial question as to would I have given him another year, well, you know, it doesn't really matter anymore because he's not going to be there. I just hope that we've got someone lined up and the right person lined up. My thing with Roy was, look, is he the most entertaining? No. Is he, you know, we've always referred to him as that safe pair of hands. I don't necessarily know if we need a safe pair of hands still, but, you know, I would have, I'd rather, you know, have had Roy for an extra season than just randomly pull someone off the street who's just clearly the wrong fit because no one else was available. Hopefully that right person is available. There's a few names, obviously, that you said we'll talk about later. So we'll have to wait and see what comes of that. But I'm just hoping that we don't go from that to another sort of disastrous Frank de Boer situation and then have to find, you know, because I think we're running out of those sort of old English managers to that can come in and sort of do the savior, do this sort of savior job. I think we've, you know, there's might have to pull Harry Redknapp out of retirement, about the only one we got left. If we're going
to
do that,
his dog can't bring his dog through his taxes.
Fair enough. But yeah, so hopefully whoever it is the right fit. They get a good chance to have a proper rebuild. And yeah, I think next year, you know, it's one of those first ones that you're sort of starting to look at now and going, all right, maybe it could be better, maybe it could be worse. My predictions are you're going to have to actually think about them. I'm not just going to go, we'll finish between 12th and 14th and that'll be it. So yeah, it's a bit, something a bit different for once, which will be different.
It sure is. It sure is. And I mean, everyone's got the same concerns. I think that, you know, I don't think we're going to go down the Frank de Boer route, something like that, because obviously I think Parrish has been burnt. But I think with supporters of the football club, if we kind of take it down to business, Crystal Palace is a multi-million dollar business, right? So there's a lot riding on it for people that have money invested in it. I'd love to think this, but I can't believe that they haven't got some type of plan in place, knowing this was going to happen, which is obviously the process takes time. Especially as we're going to speak about at the moment, a lot of these managers are currently employed with it and as currently still playing football. Dave, I'll kind of flick it over to you now, mate. You kind of bounce between me and Ned. You've been like that kind of the halfway house. Sometimes you're in my camp, sometimes you're in Ned's camp, and sometimes you're in Dale's camp. So kind of same question as to you. Would you have given him another year if it was down to you? Kind of what's your overriding feelings towards Mr. Hodgson?
He was the right manager at the right time. He has done what I believe has been asked of him for four seasons. And I reckon that the powers that be at Crystal Palace have gone. Right now is the time for us to step forward. So I know he said he's not going to manage again at the top level. I work in elite sports. These press releases are written by somebody who's just told, we need to make something sound nice, off you go, bang. So for all we know, Roy was told, mate, thanks, but no thanks, not renewing your contract. He may have well gone in and said, hey guys, I don't want to renew your contract. The truth is probably somewhere in the middle. He's done well for us. There's no two ways about it. The football at times has been absolutely fucking boring and absolutely shit. But it has been a means to an end. And the end is that from a very purely Australian perspective, which is incredibly selfish, it means we can watch the games anytime we want, at 150% of speed, a 3-minute mini match, a 25-minute longer match, or the whole thing. We can do that. We've all probably got mates who have had to sit and watch their teams in the championship this season on, was it FanView, whatever it's called. And it is a punish because you have to watch it at 2 a.m. whenever you're playing. So from that point of view, he's done a great job. I would like to see the club. I would like to hope the club has got somebody already lined up. And as I said in the WhatsApp, who has been making decisions for the last 3 or 4 months? New contracts have been signed. Other contracts haven't been offered, etc. Who's making those decisions, if not the manager or the new manager that's coming in? And I feel that either the club or Roy or both would have known about this prior to 2 days ago. So I'd like to think that there has been a longer plan in place and they spoke to somebody who has said, do you know what? I don't want Van Aanholt. I don't want McCarthy. I don't want so-and-so. I don't want so-and-so. But I do want Schlupp. I do want this. I do want that. We spoke about it on the last pod years ago. There are X number of players out of contract. And there are some you have to give a new contract to, regardless, because Stephen Henderson, you're probably going to need him at some stage, and he's probably quite happy to pick up a wage, doing absolutely bugger all. Martin Kelly, I believe, has signed a new contract. He's probably not happy doing bugger all, but hey, if he's not going to grumble about it, it's a perfect player to have in the squad. So for me, it's who's been making those decisions is what's most important.
Good point. Very, very, very good point there. Kind of throw it over to Evander Holyfield up there. Over to you, mate. How are you thinking?
Yeah, much the same as what the lad said, you know. I think you're asking the other boys, would you have had Roy for another season? I wouldn't have thought that would have been ideal, but I wouldn't have been that sad about it. Again, just with a safe pair of hands option. And if there wasn't anything viable already on the drawing board or been spoken of or wheels turning, then you would have been an idiot not to keep Roy for another year and go through another window and see what you can pick up. He's copped a lot of stick from a lot of supporters and various WhatsApp groups around the world, I'm sure, lately. And now we've officially been given the word and the nod that he is going, you know, we're all, Roy, what a good job, rah-rah. Screenshot your WhatsApp messages from 2 weeks ago. Tells a different story. But, we were on our fucking knees when he came in, man. And, we broke a 99 or a 100-year-old hoodoo of, you know, league record of 7 games and no wins and no points and no goals, minus 14 or whatever the hell it was. Statistically, we're never getting out of that season. We're gone from money. And then, he turned that around and we weren't even in relegation battle for memory that season. So whilst he may not have filled up the highlight reel with his tactics at his time here, like Ned said, he's certainly done a job for the club and a good job. I think, you know, we're not privy to the parameters that he was left to work with. We can only suspect on what's happening, but I think Ned also said some time ago, or it might have been you, Rob, that, you know, he's essentially got to do the job with one hair tied behind his back. I don't think he's been given a lot of coin. His assistant's running around in shorts, for fuck's sake. So, you know, he's not had the best of it. But, we'll see. And like Dale said, I can only imagine that wheels have been turning for some time now, and there's a fair idea of what's going on. I don't think Roy just said 2 days ago, I've had enough, I might call it, and we're scampering around, seeing who's got Dyche's number and so forth. And, go chat to Fulham fans and see what they think of Park and stuff. So, yeah, all good and well, you're going down, aren't you? We're not.
That's true. I mean, I'm not going to turn this into the usual seltzer against Roy, because I just want this to be like, I think he deserves that positive send-off, because as I said, as all you rightly said there, and that's for the first 2.5 seasons.
Praise him, go on.
It was incredible. For the first 2.5 seasons, it was incredible. Like Mark said, with what, 7 games, no goals. And you don't come back from that. But he got us back from that. And for that, we should all be eternally grateful, because we wouldn't be where we are without him. It's just kind of like, I think the safe pair of hands thing is the thing that annoys me, because I just think another year, I don't think it would be a safe pair of hands, because He's shown how stubborn he is towards change. We played 4-4-2 most of the season, got completely overrun in midfield in the last, 2 or 3 games. We played 3 in midfield and we looked good. So, I mean, we've all said, we've got Christian Benteke, he's the best header of the ball in the league, cross the ball in. Oh my God, we start crossing the ball into him, the geezer started scoring. Like, it's like shit like that's pissed me off. But hey-ho, look, I think we ended that as from the exiled Eagles. And I know this means a lot to Roy, that the exiled Eagles want to wish him the best. Thank you very much. And if it is to be a retirement, enjoy your retirement, mate. And I'm sure now that he's heard me say it, he can rest easy at night and have a good kip. I'll probably be pissed right off when I watch the Arsenal game tomorrow morning.
You got some tickets on yourself, mate. Absolute tickets.
Look, mate, if you don't have tickets on yourself, who's going to have tickets on you? That's what I say.
Oh.
All right, so Linda, obviously Roy's gone. Who next? So we might as well. I'll throw the 6 out there. I suppose have the strongest links. So you got Sean Dyche, Eddie Howe still floating about, Frank Lampard, Steve Cooper, Valerian Ismail, Who's a six? I saw that six.
Fonseca.
Ah, yes. Thank you. Paulo Fonseca. So let's start with Anthony Joshua down there, up in Queensland.
How good is your boxing knowledge, by the way, Rob? Are you going to run out?
Well, we'll find out by the end of this pod, won't we?
Yeah, I love it, this shit. I love it, this shit. I've kind of gone from old school into new straight away. Just said there was no in between. So go on, Tyson Fury. What do you think? Who would you have as the...
given the state of me face, Jeff Horn's probably more appropriate. at the moment, but I'll also take Tim Zhu. You boys are probably a lot better versed in the manager being talked about than myself. Obviously, I'm across Lampard and Dyche for what they've been doing in the Premier League. The others, I don't know much about. And yeah, look, it's two very different paths, isn't it? And I suspect it's going to go down the Lampard or Dyche path. Frankie obviously would come in, possibly attract some good players from his Chelsea days, and you'd suspect he'd give some promising kids a bit of a run, more so than Roy. Again, we don't know his directive, but that would be exciting and encouraging. And then, yeah, the flip side of that is probably Dyche.
Let's get
Deutsch
in.
And Deutsch. The Irish equivalent.
His German counterpart. And you get him in, and we're probably looking a little bit more pragmatic and safe, and a bit more middle of the road. He's also doing good things with what he's got. So, yeah, I don't know. One of those two, if I had to pick one, I don't even know if that's your question, Rob. I'm a little bit punch drunk, obviously, from the weekend. But, gun to my head, it's Dyche for me. I'm willing to take
Dyche for you. On that.
Yeah.
All right. Dale, same question to you, mate. Are all those six, or have you got a left fielder? Actually, don't bother with a left field because we don't know. They're the ones being linked.
No. Well, my left fielder is one I put in the message sheet the other day. What's that? The best football I think we've played over the past... Well, in the Premier League, was under Allardyce. We know he's not coming back. Like, if whatever happened with him in Parrish, I very much doubt he's coming back. I would have no issue if the club announced Sam Allardyce as the manager. He will play with... Look what happened when we had him before. Benteke was scoring. Zaha and Townsend were wingers. It was good football. It suited us, I should say. Not that it was good football, it suited us. It worked for us. A proper Sam Allardyce pre-season, as opposed to him coming in, may be better. And he made some good transfers. I mean, I am not a fan of Patrick Van Aanholt, but he identified what we needed and he got him. He got Schlupp and he got Luca. So, he got what I think the club needed, okay? Now, let's talk about the reality. It looks like the talk is Lampard. How do we feel about Frank Lampard? Well, everyone talks about what a great job he did at Derby. The guy took Derby from sixth place to sixth place with a better squad, I believe. He got some good loan signings in. He got Mason Mount, he got Tomori. He did well. He got him in. But we can't do that. We can get one loan signing in if we get Lampard, if we come Chelsea. We can get one. We can't get a couple. So, Dyche. Now, I'm really torn on Sean Dyche because a lot of times you watch Burnley, you hear about Burnley, they don't necessarily play good football, the best football. I mean, I saw them play against us at Selhurst Park and they absolutely turned it on. They were 19, whatever, Brazil. What he's done with Dwight McNeil, superb. What he's turned Chris Wood into, superb. You look at some of that raw stuff and you think, well, imagine if he had a club who was prepared to back him, which we're going to have to back a new manager. Then I look at some of the others, Eddie Howe. again, Bournemouth in, he made some weird signings at Bournemouth towards the end. They should never have got relegated, let's be honest. Fraser, Callum Wilson, etc. should never have been relegated. Don't know what went on there. And the others, nah, not really too fussed. I think the manager will be from the British Isles. They would have likely been around the Premiership at least once. They will have contacts because I think we are going to need, obviously, bolstering in the squad, and that's going to be really important. So, answer to your question, I ain't got a fucking clue.
Good stuff. Good. I'm glad we got that. Yeah. Just on the derby thing, and I'll come to mind, obviously, after Ned. Just on the derby thing, if you look... So it was 3 years ago Lampard was at Derby. Was it three or two?
Yeah, three.
We're kind of like, look where Derby are now. I know obviously they don't have Mount and Tomori in there, but they kind of, that whole squad hasn't been completely dismantled, has it? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, but they've got Wayne Rooney as their manager. Who, let's be honest, if the choice is Lampard or Rooney, like, should give Lampard anything he wants.
But it's just like
That is the counter argument too, right? With the Derby thing. They've fallen off a cliff since he's gone. And, you know, yes, some players have left, but the philosophy has completely changed. And they went from Lampard to Philip Cocu to Wayne Rooney. I mean, wow. Really?
Natural trajectory, I think it is.
Yeah. So something's not right there. So anyway, yeah, sorry. I butt in.
No, please do. Go on, Ed. Out of all the names mentioned, give me, who would you have in there?
So of the ones that have been mentioned, I think Dye should be the best fit. But that was mostly because I had no real issue with Hodgson. I think all the people that said Hodgson out, boring, doesn't make any changes, we want Dyche. I found that an interesting viewpoint that a few people had, given he's probably the only manager in the league that makes less changes and, you know, has sort of a more rigid football philosophy than Roy. But I think he'd be a good pragmatic choice. I think, yeah, as Dale was saying with Lampard, yes, Derby have fallen off a cliff afterwards, but you look at his two managerial jobs and you go Derby from sixth to sixth with a better squad. And he then managed to take Chelsea from fourth to ninth, got sacked, and the guy who came in's taken him straight back up to third and the FA Cup final and the Champions League final. So in terms of saying that he gets the best out of the groups of players that he's got, well, the evidence doesn't suggest that. It does suggest that they like him, and he does play nice attacking football, and he does bring players through. I'm not going to completely slag him off and say he's the worst thing in the world.
Now, I just want to say, the only thing for me with the Chelsea thing, it was really interesting the difference in him when he couldn't make transfers and he had to make do with what he had.
Yeah.
They were better.
They're much better.
They were much better.
Which potentially does work in our, which would work in our favour, because he's not going to have that. And you do have to consider possibly at Chelsea, you know, with Roman Abramovich, he just goes, here's your new £80 million superstar, play him. Work out how, you know, he doesn't fit your system, stiff shit, work it out. He's going to be your new superstar, deal with it.
Here's Wilf, keep him happy, deal with it.
And in fairness, most managers will look at our squad and go, we need to keep Wilf happy because from a creativity perspective, there ain't a whole lot else. In terms of the other ones, I think someone, you know, obviously someone threw in Ismail. I think the only reason his name is being thrown around is because he would be cheap and he's played for us. Obviously, he's, you know, doing his thing at Barnsley, but I think the reason he's doing his thing at Barnsley is a lot to do with that ownership as well. Obviously, they've got Billy Beane from Moneyball's part owner of that, and they sort of have been coming up through the ranks by just identifying the exact sorts of people, which would be a bit of a shift for us, I think. Not necessarily a negative one, but we would have to, I think if we were to get someone like that in, we would have to sort of rejig the entirety of how we do things, which I can't see happening. So I think Dyche is the best fit. Will he be the most entertaining? No. Lampard would probably be the most entertaining, but it just, you know, I'm not convinced by that. Eddie Howe is just one was at Bournemouth for years, became the manager, and got to do that purely because of what he'd done through the club. So he automatically had that respect at Bournemouth. Went to Burnley, was absolutely shit. Came back to where he felt familiar. And eventually, you know, yes, they played some nice football, but as Dale said, some weird signings, some weird decisions, and see you later. So I don't see that one working out well for us. Lampard, you could make a case either way. I think Dyche is the solid option, but Dyche is also the harder option to dislodge because obviously he's employed. It looks like it's going to be one of those two. If it is, sure, you know, could be worse.
Good points on all of them. I think probably for me, there's arguments. There's for and against arguments. I'd probably say for three of them. I'd say Dyche, Lampard, and Steve Cooper is the other one that's been heavily linked. Ishmael, I think, has just been thrown in there through as Ned says, club ties, working wonders at Barnsley. And he has been quite fantastic there, what he's done. I'll start on the Dyche thing. The Dyche thing for me is, I've been thinking about it. I'm like Dale, or Dale, did you say you're torn on Dyche, or was it Ned, or was it Mark who might have said torn on
Dyche? I was torn on Dyche.
Yeah, both torn on Dyche. So there's part of me thinks, Christ, he is bangers and mash, vanilla ice cream. We will play 4-4 fucking two. But then other part of me is that the type of player that he can get to Burnley? So are they, no one wants to live in Burnley. No one's like, okay, I'll be a Premier League footballer, but you know, I want to be a Premier League footballer, Burnley. No one's doing that. That's why Palace have London, you know, all that type of stuff. So is he playing the football that his players allow, or are they signing the players to play his football? I don't know that. I mean, that's my thing. Right? That's why I'm kind of tossing up. Like, he'll keep us up. Will he push us on? I don't know. And also, as Ned said, he is currently employed, and rumour has it he'll cost us $3 million to get out of there. The other thing for me is that Simon, if anyone listens to the Simon Jordan and Jim White, I'd highly recommend you listening to it talking about this. If you're Sean Dyche, why would you ask to interview at Palace if you're not pretty much guaranteed to get the job? Because if you do interview and then you don't get it, you've got to go back to a squad that know you interviewed for another job. Then you also have your owners that know you've interviewed for another job. So, you know, does he say, is he only interviews if he's going to get the job? I don't, again, that's the thing. I mean,
the flip side of that though, Rob, is the fact that he has been pretty vocal in the past about the fact that he's not been back there. So it could be one of those, mm-hmm. Like the agent sort of, your contract's running out and, oh, yeah, no, I'm really interested in going to sign for this team, and then all your new contracts announced 2 days later because he's sort of could be potentially playing Burnley off. That would be the only reason I could think of that you would go, oh, look, you know, if you don't look after me, they want me, they're going to give me a bit more. Sort yourselves out or I'm out.
Yeah.
The other thing is, it's football and that fucking weird things happen in football.
Happens all the time, yeah.
Yeah, true. Dyche was already interviewed at Palace. He interviewed at Palace when Roy got the job, or when De Boer got the job. So, you know, they already know that he's not been looking elsewhere. It's only in the real world where you don't get your boss know you're going for an interview. And if your boss is pretty savvy, or your boss is a decent person, then you tell him anyway. So, they know, doesn't matter. It matters if he gets it or not. And if he has to go back there.
Yeah, true. The Lampard one, I think the argument's all been made right by everyone. It scares me that he's, I don't know, I think he'll be taken to the cleaners by more the tacticians in the league, your Klopps, your Guardiolas, your Brendan Rodgers, etc. I don't think we'll have a squad to deal with that, but I think he'll put us on the front foot against teams like your Brightons and your Southamptons and your Burnleys and your Newcastles. We'll see an attacking, and we'll certainly see a younger team. We're going to see a younger team anyway, but you'll certainly see a younger team. Plus, he has the Frank Lampard name pool. So I think we'll have a good chance in the transfer market with players that will want to play for him too. So I definitely see that, but that makes me know the Frank Lampard one kind of makes me nervous. I was doing a little bit of research on Steve Cooper. If you look at kind of where he's come through, like he's done a lot of age group football, like a lot of England age groups as well, worked with like your Hudson-Odoi, your Tammy Abrahams, kind of brought them up as well. So they will know him too. And he can obviously, you know, he can work with players and younger players to bring them up. And apparently, I haven't watched much of Swansea. I watched the Barnsley playoff game, Swansea-Barnsley. One, because I was in a meeting at work and I had no interest. And two, I was just like, you know, it's Cooper against Ishmael, see what we've got going here. And it was a foot-on, it was a playoff game, so slightly edgy. But, you know, Swansea at times tried to play the ball around. They've got some good players in there. And, you know, I wouldn't be against it if he interviews well and knows the squad and he puts his best foot forward saying, this is what I want to do, this is how I want to do it, and these are the players I think we need to get, etc. A lot of Swansea fans, I know some of Swansea fan here that said that if we think Roy's done it with one hand tied behind his back, then Cooper at Swansea's had two hands tied. But apparently they sell their best player every year. They haven't been given any money, as we had no money to invest in the squad. It's gone to the playoffs twice. And that's a tough league to get to the playoffs, as we know.
The one who hasn't been mentioned, who I'm quite surprised hasn't been mentioned, is Thomas Frank. I thought there would be talk of him again. Especially if they don't get promoted, which is an interesting one, right? Because if they don't get promoted, you see it as a failure and that it wouldn't be good enough. But yeah, there's an argument it is. Who knows?
He's another one I thought about. But is Thomas Frank... the other one would be Eddie Howe. The other one I'll talk about in a sec. Is Thomas Frank like an Eddie Howe? He works at Brentford, because Brentford have that infrastructure around him, like they have that money ball thing. They go and get that. They get your even Tony's, your Ollie Watkins, your say Ben Rahmers. They go to get these players and they sell them for massive, massive profit because they have that the data. They do. That's what they do, right? So, does Frank work well in that type of system, but wouldn't work so well in a Dougie Freeman, Steve Parish type system? I agree with you, Dale, 100%. So obviously the thing with your Coopers and your Ishmaels is they're still in the playoffs at the moment. You know, Thomas Frank is still in the playoffs at the moment, so we can't really do much there. And apparently we want to name our manager in the next couple of days. So that would suggest to me that none of them are getting it.
Well, if we want to name our manager in the next couple of days, then our manager has been decided.
Yeah, exactly. So we suggest to me...
I'm just saying the name hasn't been mentioned. I'm not saying we get him, I'm not saying whatever, I'm just saying.
No, I agree.
Yeah. All right.
The other one with Howe is I wouldn't be against Eddie Howe if we had, I want Gary Cahill as a defensive coach. Eddie Howe can do the attacking, Gary Cahill to sort the back out. Because Howe went down, as Dale said, he had Wilson, Richie had Nathan Aki at the back, you had, Begovic in goal, or was it Ramsdale in goal? So you had a half decent team there, and, you know, it went wrong. So, if you're asking me, if I've got to put a gun to my head as painful, I'd probably say Dyche.
The man sits there for 4 years.
Complaining about defensive football and then says, I want Sean Dyche. I know. Unbelievable.
That's not who I want. I want Steven Gerrard. I want that on record. I would throw
Stevie J.
Next, what's the next topic? I don't
want to
get into that, idiot.
I love Steven Gerrard as a manager. All right, so, and this has probably changed, is obviously that we're not going to go through all the players out of contract again, but I think we've kind of done that to death. Like, we know that the 11 players out. Obviously, me and Marky, you're distraught about Mama Saka and not getting another contract. I think that's a disgrace. What a player. Yeah. But I think we've all probably agreed upon the players that, because I think we definitely did the last pods 4 years ago when Dale read out the names. We're like, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. Who would we hire? Who would we re-sign? Sorry. So now obviously we're looking at signings. Now, obviously, about an hour ago now, it came out that Eze has done his Achilles and it's a long term, which is unbelievable. But then I'm just thinking, right? In the last, 3 years, him, you've got Eze, Ferguson, Wickham, Tompkins, Sacco, Benteke have all had long-term injuries. And they were all like, and Tompkins.
Mate, you can't put Eze in the bracket of those guys. Eze's had one injury. It's unfortunate.
No, I'm saying those guys are long.
Connor Wickham had one injury, though. He had one injury and then it kept going.
That's what it is.
But yeah, but like they've all had long term injuries, like, and the reason Ferguson's been out for so long is he came back, but because obviously he's been out for so long, so like hopefully that won't happen to Eze. But we've had lots of these things, so I think before Eze happened, we probably needed two centre backs, two midfielders, younger midfielders, and kind of another winger. Now, I think we need that plus another attacking midfielder. Personally. Now,
I don't think you're going to get all of that with all of our Eze being injured. I think the priority will end up being get Ferguson fit, get one young centre back, younger centre back.
Jay Rich Begulu.
Yeah, well, he scored last night, didn't he? For under 23s. Get a centre back. Younger, and then probably get another one on loan. So for argument's sake, you mentioned his name, you just keep mentioning it. Tomori, for example, I'm not saying it's him. You buy one, you get another one on loan. You're covered. You keep Tomkins, and then you've got one of Cahill or Dan who's happy to fill in whenever, and you've got Kelly done. Centre midfield, the central midfielder, I don't know what formation they're going to end up playing. Again, priority will probably be get MacArthur fit and see where he's at, because he's only 31, 32, so it's not that old.
He's got another season in.
Yeah, and then you go right, then you look at it and go right, him, a Jeff Schlupp who appears to play anywhere, of Jare Riedewald, a Luka Milivojevic, because let's be honest, he's not going anywhere. He's not in the contract. There's four central midfielders already. So then you go, right, do we look to bring in the same thing, a younger one who is in and around the squad, most likely? For me, the most pressing area after centre-back is a winger, because Townsend will try. He's very good at trying. He's very good at running like this. So let's sort
of. He's a great third choice option. Andrew.
Yeah, exactly right. You don't want IU out there. Like you just don't. Where's Wilf best suited? I personally want him wide, taking players on, but he wants to play up top, so that's another issue. So you are. And we don't know what's going to happen with Rakitić and Alumbu and all these other kids coming through the academy. I probably would argue it's probably a little bit too soon for them already. It's a big step up to saying they're going to go play Premier League. So that winger situation is paramount, or that creative player is paramount. Forwards look after themselves next season. It will be Benteke, it will be Mateta, and... IU again probably not going anywhere, contract's not up, so as bleak as it looks when you look at the contracts, it's probably not as bad as it could be. I cannot see wholesale sweeping the broom through the place. I just can't see it happening.
I don't think it'll be wholesale, but there's definitely place we have to improve. You picked up on a couple, and I'll touch on them in just a second. But I just want to go to Roy Jones Jr. quickly and see what he thinks.
56-8, two draws, still here. I think a lot of it will obviously hinge on who gets renewed and who doesn't, and that will be by virtue of who they think can still do a job for the club next season, and who's possibly on the way out, or thank you very much. Good luck in the future. So, Dale just touched on a couple of the younger guys that have really shined for the younger squads this season. Amalabu being one, Rakitić, even Banks, I think, has been in our squad a couple of times.
He was the one I was going to mention.
Yeah, so there could be some asterisks next to those guys' names with thought spring accrued. This, you know, as a injury might fast forward, a bit of that could be, you know, another AWB in disguise. Don't know. I can give you a list of names of guys that I think might come in, but I think it will hinge on basically who's, yeah, who's not getting renewed and then looking at sorting that out. What I did find, what pricked my ears up before, get Dyche happening. I think if Brinkquist would with him, that'd be great. We have a bit of an Anzac connection at the club, Kiwi in there, and Rich Bagaloo, get him up on board, and I hope we have an Anzac Day blockbuster. It'd be great.
What about you, Neddy?
Yeah, so I mean, I think just going back to, I think Dale was probably close to the money. What I was going to say when Mark brought in someone like a Scott Banks was, I think those guys that, you know, we've just been playing in, you know, in those youth teams that we've talked about, you know, saying that it's probably a bit early for them. I think someone like a Scott Banks, it's not too early for him because he played that. We all remember watching those highlights of him in the 23s at the start of the year, just running rings around everyone and banging the ball in the back of the net every second week. And then we sort of haven't heard his name because he obviously went off on loan to wherever it was. I haven't actually followed how he's done out there. He went off
to Dunbar.
It was somewhere up in Scotland, I think. So you'd be hoping that he's been playing a bit of football up there. I mean, you would say that we probably would have heard more about it if he was absolutely dominating. So that's possibly not the case. But you would hope that he would come back from that in a position to not just sit in the 23s all year next year. So potentially that's one of your younger ones that can come through. Obviously Hannum's been on the bench before. So, and you know, if we can get Ferguson fit, you know, he was probably more a signing for this season anyway, regardless of whether he'd been fit or not. Those ones, you know, there are a few players sort of sitting there in the wings that, you know, plus obviously those youngsters that can come in and do a bit of cover. I think obviously centre back we do need. In terms of that midfield restructure, if we sign either a centre back or a holding midfielder, you release Kiate into whichever one as an extra option in whichever one of those we haven't signed, which sort of helps us with that squad depth a bit. I think what we will need, and it's going to sound silly, is I think we do need cover at left back with PVA gone. Mitchell's been great, but I think Mitchell's been great because he had to go and take someone's spot. I think you look at someone like a Wan-Bissaka at United this year, he sort of has gone probably the wrong way a little bit from what they were hoping, just because he's been the undisputed right back. There's no one even close to taking his spot. So it doesn't matter whether he's any good or not. And it's not that, you know, it's not that I'd suggest that Mitchell would have any issue with his attitude or something, but it is just one of those things where if, you know, you get it in the back of your mind that I'm the left back, no one else is going to take it. But then, you know, you do sort of sit there every now and then and go, well, maybe I don't have to put in that slight sprint there or whatever it is. And just subconsciously it sort of, you know, gets you. So I think, it doesn't necessarily have to be an absolute superstar left back, but I think we do need someone there, potentially on the other side. I don't know what's going on with obviously Klein and Ward, but they're both probably players that you're happy to have them as, you know, one of the competing right backs. Do you want them to be the two competing right backs? Potentially there's room for improvement there. Strikers, you know, if we get Benteke signed back up again, and then, you know, you've obviously got Mateta contracted for next year. Are you still under contract? We're just not going to be wasting money up in that area, I wouldn't have thought. So I think, yeah, Eze does put a spanner in the works. Obviously, Achilles injuries, you know, in terms of injuries that you do, it's pretty much about as bad as you can get, which is not good. But, you know, obviously he's got youth on his side. But I think that will potentially mean that where we would have been looking to build a team around him as that sort of central attacking option, that's just not going to be the case anymore. So we're probably going to need some form of creativity, because I mean we haven't even spoken about the possibility of, you know, what if we do decide to cash in on Wilf, someone does come in. If that happens and Eze's injured, then all of a sudden Jordan Ayew is the most creative player on the pitch. And when I say creative, I mean unpredictable. And because, you know, if he doesn't know what he's going to do, then how the hell is he supposed to
get Andre into the fold, mate?
Now that's it. Bang one in against.
Easy go.
Ghana captain Andre Ayew.
What did you do, Mark?
I like the sound of this, boys.
So we have Ghanaian and Zach. Just that's all we're going to be. We just have Aussies and Kiwis and Ghanaians in our team.
Jerich Pegula, just get him in the first team.
The reason I think on your last point there, what happens if someone comes with Wilf, the fact that Eze's injured now guarantees Wilf stays would be my thinking. If we were ever thinking about it, not that I think we would be, and I don't think anyone would put up the money for us, but that we'd want. If Wilf was going to go.
Sorry. On that, mate, I think that's hugely dependent on the new manager, because whoever comes in is going to say, what's going on with Wilf and Eze, right? That's the, if you're going to be the manager at Crystal Palace, the first question you ask. Yeah. And as of today, conversation is Eze is injured and Wilf's moody, because he probably is, let's be honest, right? And was Wilf going to look at that squad now and go, fuck, man, Eze is done until February, March next year.
At the earliest.
I'm not hanging around for this. I'm off.
Absolutely.
You've to be honest, me... if it's an Achilles injury, I think Eze's gone next year. I don't think we see it.
Yeah. So
it depends. That we don't know how bad it is,
but Achilles injuries don't. They don't. You don't have good Achilles injuries.
I'm hearing it is well into
minimum. Yeah, six months is a good Achilles injury.
Yeah, and I'm not talking into next season. I'm talking next year.
Yeah.
So let's think. If this is February, March, we are talking pretty much end of season.
Six months.
Does Wilf then say, "Fuck this! I'm not carrying this team again"? And hey, Steve, remember that time we were on your yacht giving it all smiles and big licks? Mate, I'm out now. You promised me something. I want to go. So,
don't
be surprised. That's all.
Obviously, he might do. And then if he hands his transfer request, obviously he gives up the money. That's kind of why he didn't hand his transfer request, because he didn't want to give that loyalty money. But for the flip side of it might be because then he says, I want to go, as he's done. Parrish turns around and says, look, Hodgson's gone. We're bringing in, argument's sake, Frank. We're bringing in Frank Lampard. We're giving him X amount of money, and he's going to build this team up again. And it's going to be an attacking, young attacking team. And maybe Will says, okay, but then Paris is like, look, if we get an offer of 50 million for you, we'll take that as well. So, I mean, we don't know. We don't know all this type of things.
I think Wilf entirely depends on if someone comes in. If someone comes in with that bid no longer has to be 70 million. That bid only has to be 40.
Yeah, but the bid has to be 40. Okay. 40, but then they have to pay Wilf over 100 grand a week.
Yeah, for sure.
He's getting it. He's getting that money wherever he goes.
Yeah.
100% he is.
Best scoring season in the Premier League. So
hey, he's getting it. Wherever he's going to, that team will be in or around European competition, and he's not going to go unless he's getting 100 grand plus. Because as much as he wants to be whatever, he can sit at us and get 120, but he knows, and clubs know now, clubs know what they need to do to get Wilf. Simple as. He's dangling that carrot in front of him, he's gone soon.
Yeah, but they have to pay the money to us, though. So they have to be prepared to basically, so they give him a 4-year contract. They pay us 40 million. They will take the money, but they've got
40 million. If it's 40 mil, he's gone. And do you know why? Yeah. Because the club needs to rebuild, and they'll take that and go, right, we already made a new manager 30, let's give him 40, and they got 70. Done.
I agree with what you're saying.
And do you know what? We can replace what Wilf gives us if we're smart with the money. I'm not saying we can replace Wilf, the person who hates Brighton, the person who was born around the corner, etc., etc., but we can replace what he gives us. So raw numbers-wise, goals we can get and take-ons we can get. What we don't, the big issue is Eze and Wilf essentially create a space for each other without even realising it necessarily, because if Wilf gets the ball...
It was like Wilf and Bolasie back in the day. You know, yeah, you can't double-team them both. So if one's on, then if one's being marked by two, then the other one has a bit of freedom.
I agree. Everything you said there. I mean, you have to be smart about it with goals and take-ons and stuff. But what I'm saying, Dale, is that the club that buys Wilf, the club that's happy to pay £40 million to Palace, then have to give Wilf a sign-on fee of whatever that is, and then pay him £100,000 a week for 4 years. So they have to be prepared to lose, basically, to have to spend 50, 60 million on Wilf over the term of his contract, because they're not selling him on again. He won't have set on value.
That's football. That's what I'm saying. They know this. That Everton were prepared to pay...
Anyone who's willing to pay £40 million is going to pay £100,000 a week. That's not a problem.
Yeah. Get 40 grand into an apple.
Yeah. He's only going to go, let's say, I know this is off topic and we've got nothing to talk about, so he will only go in England to City, Chelsea, United, Everton, West Ham, Liverpool. My point is, those are the clubs who could turn around and go, 40 million plus signing on fee, plus £100,000, not an issue for any of them. So that's almost half the league it's not an issue for. And those are the teams that are all vying for Europe. That's what he wants. And for them, it's not an issue. He's not going to have to go to an Aston Villa. It's not going to be Aston Villa who are going to be breaking the bank. It's going to be clubs who are going to go, yeah, fuck it. What's this money to us? This is nothing.
But then... I'll see where you're coming from, but then, and I know you don't mean like West Ham, just take West Ham out because obviously he would never go to West Ham, but Man U he won't go back to, Man City will never
buy him. The ones
that could afford him are the ones that are not going to buy him.
He's never going to the big six or whatever, but the point is, but for those clubs who would be looking at him, the money's not an issue.
And if we wanted to replace Wilf, which we can do, Dale, like you said, we just have to work out how you hate equally and just work our way back from there.
Done.
Are we going to have Lewis Dunk on the wing next year?
It's disgusting.
He doesn't hate Lewis Dunk. You like Lewis Dunk more than Wilf Zaha.
No. I don't know enough about Lewis Dunk.
I'm sorry, everyone.
It's embarrassing.
I don't know enough about Lewis Dunk. Wilfred, however, absolute wanker. No time for me.
It's all right. We got the problem solved. Dale's been muted, so we can
take off of that because my ears are bleeding. Centre backs. Obviously, we need a younger centre back. I mean, I think there's some good young centre midfielders around. I mean, you look at someone like Conor Gallagher, obviously, whether we get him or not, I don't know. But let's be honest, he's getting nowhere near that Chelsea team with Tuchel there. They're going to buy some more midfielders, and they've got fucking good midfielders it is right now. I mean, you should look at someone like Maitland-Niles, right? He's not going to get into the Arsenal team. He can cover centre midfield, he can cover right back, he can cover right wing. He'd be a perfect player, for example.
I'm also just going to beat Dale to Ademola Lookman as well.
Yeah, Lookman, Willow.
He was next on my list, you wankstand. But then also, if you look at someone like Pereira at West Brom, for example, who he can be that attacking in that hole. He's been very good this season as well. So also there are players out there, obviously, I hope our scouting team have done the bee's knees because we certainly need a lot. Do I think we're going to get all of it? Probably not. Well, certainly not all permanent. There's definitely going to be some loans in there, whether we get some loans from Europe as well. There's that too. Obviously, the World Cup, and we'd probably buy some Russian bloke that scores in the World Cup.
This season, more than ever, I think there are players to be had from the relegated teams. There have actually been some actual good players, not just players who have looked good in a bad team.
So Ryan Brewster, do you reckon, Dale?
Mate, that guy. I've got Liverpool sporting mates.
Thank God we missed out on that.
Oh, my God, how bad. I mean, I just... Sorry, right? I have been a fan in the past of Chris Wilder, but if you think you're going to pin your hopes on a guy, a kid, who's walking around with a Champions League winner's medal, having not played a minute in the Champions League and flaunting it, you've got another thing coming. Like, what a waste of money that was. Absolute joke. Get Brewster. I hate him. I hate him. Get him.
That's it. Yeah,
there you go. Making progress.
There he is.
Yes, sir. There he is. All right, so that's our thoughts on signing. So basically, we know we need centre-backs. I'd argue that we don't need left-back at all. I reckon we've got Mitchell. You both mentioned Reece Hannon. He's a left-back who's been in the squad. You've got Teo Aderamola, who's looking fantastic, who I've watched a couple of times the under-18s. He's not quite ready yet, but I think he's fantastic. Ned, on your point about someone like Scott Banks, at Dunfermline this season has 11 appearances, no goals in the Scottish Championship. Does he, as a club, have I heard the club have high hopes for him? Yes. Is he ready for the Premiership? Absolutely not yet.
Yeah, fair enough.
From what I read from like journalists and people on Twitter, because obviously Twitter is the world of all good news, and everyone should read Twitter because that's where all the news is.
As proven.
Thank you. Is that there's high hopes for a lot of these under-18s. The under-23s, you probably won't get that many come out of those guys and make it at Palace. They might have a career in professional football. Whether they become Premier League players is yet to be seen. Scott Banks, I think, is one they're thinking of. But look, if you look at someone like Tomori and Guehi, who went to Swansea this season, and Mount at Derby, those are Gallagher last year at, when he went to Charlton and Middlesbrough, whatever he went, or Swansea as well. Like, that's Chelsea's players, that the youngsters are going to Championship clubs. Our youngsters are going to Scottish Championship clubs. So you're not ready. If you're not tearing up the Scottish Championship, you're not ready for the Premiership. So I think that's what we've got to look at. But I know there's a lot of high hopes for the under-18s. Obviously, Rexaki or Milabu, we've spoken about before. Aderamola has also been looked at quite highly too. So obviously, it's going to be a very interesting summer. New manager, lots of new players. Bloody hell, is he bastard. Why did he just get injured? So that's enough about Palace, because obviously, and we'll probably pod again in a couple of weeks, when the season's over, and we'll do our award ceremony too. So now I'm going to hand over to our resident Aussies, Ned and Costa Zoo over there, to talk about everything that's happened to do with Aussies. I'm sure Sam Kerr is going to get mentioned now, and my boy Matty Simon. So over to you guys.
I'm going to claim this one first off the back, because obviously Melbourne Victory have been probably the worst football team. Well, second worst football team on the planet. Apparently, Newcastle Jets have managed to be worse, which is spectacular. But we have got a good bit of news that has happened in terms of we have got a new manager for next year in Tony Popovich. Hey, so there's someone that I can potentially try and run into in Melbourne and ask him to come on the pod, and he can tell me to go and fuck myself. So that should be fun. Hopefully, he is significantly better. Well, I mean, in fairness, I feel like he could probably play better than most of the current squad. We know that we'll sign his kids because that's what he does. So that's the exciting bit from the Melbourne perspective. The other bit, Palace have got a Australian representative once again, with old matey J. Rich Bagulu in the extended Olympics squad. Obviously, he'll probably get cut before the Olympics, but and some of the other players in that squad are awful, but he's made it there, so that's good. Hopefully, he can obviously fly the Palace flag at Tokyo. And now I'll let Mark talk about some of the people that aren't shit in Australian football.
Well, yeah, just while you're on,
you're done.
Eh?
Nothing is a bad joke.
Sorry, mate. On Rich Bagley, banged in the second goal the 23 player the other day, doing great things. And one of Popper's sons also making that initial squad for Tokyo. So some lovely Palace green and gold connection going on at the moment. Long may that continue. Rob, I thought you might have let us out with the Aussie stuff, mate, with your local boy, come good, Alua Kuol, the 19-year-old that's been signed, signed by Stuttgart.
Yeah, he just texted me. He just texted me, so he doesn't want to be mentioned. He's embarrassed. He's modest. He's a modest bloke.
He's definitely not a modest bloke. I've seen his post-match interviews. Modesty is not the word I would use to describe Alua Kuol. But anyway, sorry, continue.
The young bloke, they're off to VfB Stuttgart in the Bundesliga.
Cracking player.
Next season. So that's let you down a man, Rob. You might get the nod next season, mate. Dust the pink socks off. Other Aussie things. Obviously, it's been in a lot of headlines. Sam Kerr winning the Golden Boot and the league with Chelsea. Got absolutely battered in the European Champions League by Barcelona.
And made to look to the tune quite of silly by one of her old tweets while Barcelona were getting dismantled by Lyon in the Champions League final a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
she did. That was a little bit awkward.
So look, she teamed up with Kirby over there. I think 52 goals between them in all comps throughout the year. So absolutely braining it over there. So well done to Sam. A bit of local stuff here. My girls, the Brisbane Roar women's. Michelle Gelnick got the golden boot there. 13 goals in 12 games, equaling Sam Kerr's record here in the W League. And her and Claire Polkinghorne, unfortunately, sold and shifted off to Sweden the week prior to our finals.
I forgot that the W League finished before since our last pod. I'll claim that one. I'll take that back. Melbourne victory. Melbourne victory are good at something. We won that one.
Lots of things have started and finished.
We won that one direct from a corner in the 118th minute or something ridiculous.
That's right, mate. I thought you would have touched on that, but...
Yeah, well, it was a very long time ago. I just forgot that it's been 9 years since the pod, so
it was.
It's fair enough.
So, girls are falling over there without their obviously leading goal scorer and captain of having some cheese fondue on the other side of the planet when it came time for finals, which was our undoing. And I'm going to round out my Aussie chat on something a little bittersweet and bringing Brighton into the mix. Isaac Powell, young man who was Brisbane Roar's youngest debutante at 16 and 200 and something days. He's been offered a trial down there at with the Seagulls, and unfortunately the match winner against City that they had in the early hours this morning scored by Dan Burns, who by namesake is also my best mate.
All right, guys. Well, that's just your roundup, and that's pretty much it for the first pod in 2021. It feels like, but so it just leaves me to say thank you very much to Dale, Ned, and Floyd Mayweather Jr. Pleasure.
Yep. I'll give us one more. You got a minute. You got a minute left, Rob. Give us three more Nigel boxes. Ben. Another one. Yeah? Another one.
Nigel Ben, Steve Collins.
Yeah. Right. Fair enough.
Surprise. Surprised Barry McGuigan didn't get a mention.
Deontay Wilder, Jimmy.
What about former welterweight world champion Mike Bazooka 40? Look him up.
Peace. And
on that note, laces up the palace. My head shaver stopped working, so this is a disaster. I had to wet shave it the other day because I was halfway through and half my head and it just stopped. So I had half my head shaved and the other half was a little bit.
When you met Lisa, did you have hair?
Yeah, did. I had a big old McDonald's thing going on, like proper, like whoop.
Wow.
I was moving.
I'm glad I managed to get recording time for that.
I was going to say, can we stop giving Ned content? Let's go.
All right, let's rock and roll.
I didn't agree to send my own recording myself request. There was two options. It was continue or leave meeting, and I decided to leave meeting. Don't mind me.